Hey friends, welcome to The Abundant Life. I'm your host, Brandon Kelly, and today I'm going to bring to you something I'm going to start doing from now on. About 10 times a year, I get the opportunity to preach at The Crossing, and that's the church I serve at. And what I wanted to do was to just share that message with you. I'm going to start doing that whenever I have the opportunity to preach a sermon, so I'm going to start uploading that. So today, what you're going to hear is a conversation I got to have about marriage in a series we're calling From This Day Forward. And the idea is that we're making five commitments to fail-proof our marriages. And the second commitment was the one I got to talk on, and that was on the topic of fighting fair. Now, there's a lot of humor, and that's because I have a lot of self-deprecating information and content that I can share and did share. And so I hope you enjoy this sermon. I hope you walk away with something useful. And even if you're not married, I think you can walk away with something that you can take and implement, because it's all related to relationships. So friendships, family, and certainly marriage. So here it is. Hope you enjoy.
So this topic related to marriage, I think it's a conspiracy. Because we weren't supposed to have a marriage series right now. A few months ago, Jay and Kenny got together and had a conversation, and voila, From This Day Forward. When I heard about it, I was excited because, you know, I was surprised, but excited because we never really had a marriage series at The Crossing, where it was just devoted to marriage. I was sitting at my computer in my office looking at the way this was going to be outlined and broken down, and when I saw what's on the screen, I frantically asked Sarah to come into the office and look at what was on my computer screen. She looked at it, and she smiled, and then I looked at her and said, "Well, honey, we've got a week and a half to figure this out." See, I think it's a conspiracy because this is not an area where we have it all figured out. Okay? So if I may just be real with you, when I'm talking about this, I am not coming from a place of, I've got this figured out. I'm coming at it from a place of, let's figure this out together and see what God has for us together. That would be cool, right? Amen? Does that work for you guys? Can I admit that? Is that cool? All right. Thank you. All right, good. In all seriousness, though, I've got really nothing to say. So I think we can just pray and, head to lunch early. Amen? Yeah? I'm kidding. I've got some things to say, but that was my first response to seeing this. But yes, we struggle in this area. In order to start this message off with a nice and light way, I thought I would remember some ridiculous fights Sarah and I have had over the years, and I couldn't remember any. None came to mind. I knew we had plenty, but I just couldn't think of any. So I did what I always do when I'm trying to remember something. I left my office, went upstairs, and talked to Sarah. Okay, at this moment, she was making a salad. The girls were eating lunch. And then she was also, at the same time, unloading dishwasher. Okay, I don't know how she does that, but she was doing it. And so I come around the corner and say, "Honey, what would you say the most ridiculous or funniest fight we've ever had is? What would you say that is?" And this is her response. "I don't know. Nothing really comes to mind." I'm like, what do you mean nothing comes to mind? Are you serious? And then she says, "Well, I know we've had some dumb ones, but nothing comes to mind." And then it was at that moment I had an epiphany. And I said this out loud. I don't know that I should have. I said, "This makes total sense, because what I think is true is that when it comes to fights, men delete and women archive. Only it's that the archive, the search engine for the archive, Google kind of thing, it doesn't work unless you're in the middle of a fight." That came out of my mouth. And then what happened next was she gave me this evil smile. And I think it was a coincidence. Okay, I'll grant her that. But in the moment, she had three knives in her hands that she was unloading from the dishwasher. And so I was afraid, and so I let her put those away. And then, because I care about you guys and I want this to be lighthearted and fun and stuff, I made a sacrifice. I started a fight. So I could have, a story for you guys. I didn't do that. Like, that would have been a death wish. I didn't do that. She wouldn't have killed me. Like, seriously. She put the knives away already. But here's the thing, guys. All couples fight. All couples fight. I mean, you might have had a fight on the way here. Anybody? I don't want to admit it. I was doing some research because, I really need to learn things in related to this. I did some research. I found this article from the Gottman Institute, and we'll hear about more from them in a minute. But they outlined these six arguments as ones that all married couples have, and I was wondering if you guys would agree. Number one, fights related to work stress. Fights related to work stress. You don't have to be crazy. It will train you to be crazy. Here's the scenario, right? You have a bad day at work, as if that's ever happened, and then you drive home. Maybe you work in the city, and it takes you forever to get back home, and you're frustrated by that. As a side note, I don't understand traffic jams. I may have shared this with you before, but if it's a three-lane highway, what I envision at the front, where the point of origin is three people who just decided, I'm just going to stop in the middle of the road because I don't want people to go. It just makes no sense to me. But anyway, you get home, right? Maybe you had to pick up the kids before you got home, or maybe the kids are already at home, and you have no time to decompress, and so that leads to bad repercussions, right? You can write this down. No decompression leads to bad repercussions. It does. Or maybe number two, in-laws. As if that's ever been a fight, right? You got families coming together. They do stuff one way, it's weird. They do other stuff another way, and it's weird in a different way. And you have to reconcile that and work that out, right? I mean, for me, I'm good with my own. I love them. They're awesome. And they're not even here, and I said it, okay? They may watch it later, but I'm being serious. So maybe you fought about that. Or maybe you have a fight about money. Right? I mean, maybe you've got too much of it and you just can't handle it. Amen. Yeah. No. Maybe you just don't have enough of it. You can't handle it. You can't manage it. And let me just say this, if I may just step on the toes a little bit, feel free to step on my toes after the service. Literally, it's fine. But let me just say this. If you guys in your marriage function from my money and her money, or my money and his money instead of our money, that could be a point of the reason why you're fighting. Just saying. Side note. Number four, sex. Of course the fight's always, there's too much. There's too much of it, right? Maybe the switch is always off or always on. We don't know, but have you ever had a fight about that? I don't know, maybe. Let me just say, though, if you were here last week and you took on the recommendation from last week's sermon to pray together daily, it may be, there may be a connection between doing that and more of that. Not more fighting, but more of that, okay? He just said that in church. God's design, get over it. Another one, number five, housework. You've never fought about this, I know, but I've had many fights in our home about how I load the dishwasher because I don't do it right. And so I've gotten to the point where every time that happens, I just don't do it, do I? I don't do it anymore because I'm trying to help, and then it just results in more tension, so I just don't even do it anymore. Number six, a new baby, no sleep, enough said, right? So that was nice, but I was wondering what you guys, you and your spouses, fight about. So I took to Facebook and asked the question, and here are some of the responses. One of the people said one of their biggest fights as a married couple was who got what side of the closet. Who got what side of the closet? This was so bad that they didn't talk to each other afterward, like for a while. who got what. Maybe there was a lot of shelving on the side, maybe. I don't know. I can't explain it. Another one was, what movie line is more famous? You'll have to check my Facebook to see what that was, because, I mean, to me, it's hands down, but I don't want to offend anybody. Ryan Mitchell. Each other's driving skills. Maybe that's, you know, maybe you're a side seat driver like me. And, you know, you just choose, I'm just going to drive wherever we go because otherwise it's going to be a fight. Another person said, not putting softener in the laundry. Some of you ladies are like, what? They didn't do it? You take the clothes out of the washer and they're already crusty? And this is my personal favorite. This couple had an argument about how the mystery flavor of Dum Dums are made. Legitimate argument. They called. They called 1-800-DUM-DUMS or whatever the number is. And as a side, like, you imagine, like, you're real successful in business and you land the job as CEO of Dum Dums. Like, I'm CEO of Dum Dums. I want to add that person on LinkedIn. I'm going to do that. But they were both half right. So they still argue to this day about how it was made. And I wanted to bring them on stage so they could kind of make their case, but they said they were going to be in Canada today. And I was like, that's pretty extreme to avoid stage time. But they went there. They're really there. And then two that I know you guys are passionate about, I need some crowd participation so that we can settle this once and for all, okay? Here's the thing. When it comes to whether or not the toilet seat should be left up or put down, where do you stand? If you need the toilet seat to be put down, raise your hand. Okay, if you want the toilet seat to be left up, raise your hand. There's more honest men in this service than last service. I don't know what that says. Another one, when it comes to the way the toilet paper is supposed to be facing, do you make it so it goes over or under? If you think over. Yeah, that's so weird because, like, last service, everyone started shouting, over! Oh, they were passionate about it, and you guys did it too. That's hilarious. That's awesome. So, ladies, you're welcome. We just settled it. Well, everyone voted in church, so we've settled it. So all that to say, I'm sure you would agree that it's not if you fight, it's how you fight. It's not if you and your spouse fight. It's a question of how you fight. So some people yell. Some people shut down. Some people manipulate when they're in a fight. Some people storm away. Some people never own their part. Some people hold everything in. They don't even talk about it. Some people insult the other person. And some do something entirely different, entirely healthy. And that's what we're going to try and look at today together. Okay, that's what we're going to try and get to. Because here's the thing. Over time, I think you would agree, we get used to the way our spouse fights. And they get used to the way we fight. And sometimes it gets to the point where when there's some kind of division within the relationship, you get to the point where I don't even want to bring it up because it's going to result in a fight, because I know that when we fight, it's only going to lead to condemnation. It's not going to lead to resolution. And so we get to the point where we don't even bring it up because we want to avoid a fight. It's not even fighting fair. We just try to avoid it at all costs. And so here's my thing. That's a dangerous place to be in as a couple. If you're not even willing to duke it out, so to speak. So here's the weight of it. Here's the weight of this issue. You may think, you know, it's not that big of a deal. We don't really have this as an issue. We only fight every now and again. Here's the weight of it. John Gottman studied marriage for 16 years. And he says that he could watch a couple fight for 5 minutes and determine with 91% accuracy of whether or not they would get a divorce. 91%. Watching you fight for 5 minutes. Not if you fight, it's how you fight. And I had to ask myself the question that if he saw the way that myself and my wife fight, what would he say? This is crazy. 91% accuracy just based on how you fight. Not even the frequency of how much you fight, but on the way you fight. So I think this is important. Last week we started the series, From This Day Forward, and we're asking you or encouraging you and encouraging ourselves to make five commitments to fail-proof your marriage. They are, number one, seek God, number two, fight fair, number three, have fun, number four, stay pure, and number five, never give up, because we believe if you combine all of these together, you could fail-proof your marriage. And if you weren't here last week to hear what Jay had to say about seeking God, you missed out, because he brought it. And I'm just going to say, if you are not praying together with your spouse daily in response to that sermon, you need to go and watch it, because it could make a huge difference just in a practical level this week with your spouse. Okay? So if you weren't here last week, go and watch it or listen to it. You can watch it on our phone or on your phone. On the app, you can go to online and you can find it there. You can listen to it on iTunes. We have it on the podcast and all that stuff. So plenty of places for you to catch up. So we're going to jump into scripture now. James chapter 1 is where we're going to be. And from the things that I talked about earlier, before we got into the message related to marriage, let me just say that what we're going to talk about today is not just related to marriage, but it's related to every single relationship, every single interaction you and I have with other people. So it could be the case that this is the key on an individual level to solve the issues we face, not only in our marriages, but in our friendships, our family, and in our culture. Okay, James chapter 1, verse 19. This is what God's word says. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. My dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen. Quick to listen. Ladies, isn't this what you want from your husband, from your significant other, for them to just hear you? From not maybe them for to listen to you, but to quickly listen to you. Yeah, maybe. You see, every week I run into this predicament. I'm doing something, and my wife comes to me with something to share. So she walks up to me, and I'm sitting here doing whatever I'm doing, and she begins to talk. And I'm doing something different, and I continue to do that. But at the same time, I look at her and say, uh-huh. And I do the, you know, guys, you know what I'm talking about. The head nod. Yeah. And then she ends her information sharing. You ladies are so talented at this. With a question. Like a quiz. And then enter the predicament. Because I'm just hanging out doing it. Maybe I'm on my phone. Maybe I'm typing something up. Or maybe whatever. And then, when she asks me the question, I have some options. I can either look at her and say, I'm sorry, honey, I really wasn't listening. Could you repeat that? I'm very sorry for not listening to you. Or, yeah, whatever you want, honey. What are you talking about? You've been talking? It never works out. It never works out. Because here's what that communicates to my wife. I don't care about what she's saying. Then that leads to, I don't care about her feelings. And then that leads to, I don't care about her. Ladies, can you resonate with that? You see, a spouse who is quick to listen communicates something different. They communicate that they are displaying compassion. Because not only do I want to hear what you're saying, but I care about what you're going through. I care about your feelings. Even if it's just something small, I care. I have compassion. You communicate humility. Every day, my wife will start a sentence and I will finish it. And thinking that I know where she's going with that conversation. And every single time I'm wrong. But I have like so much pride in my brain that I think I've got her figured out. I can just, honey, you don't even need to worry about it. I already know. I'm wrong every time. It doesn't work. So when you listen, when you're quick to listen, Brandon, you show humility. You also show that you love your spouse. You show that you respect your spouse. You show that you care for them. So question for us all. Do you have a listening ear or a responding ear? Do you have a listening ear or a responding ear? Do you bend your ear to hear and understand, or do you bend your ear to respond? Because here's what being quick to listen does. It shows that you value your spouse, and when you're quick to listen, you're quick to understand, and when you're quick to understand, you connect. You make a connection. And that's a good place to be. It's a good place to be. And for me, I have a tendency to listen to respond. Listen to respond. Growing up, if it were up to my family, I would have been a lawyer. Because they tell me that I can argue about absolutely anything. And I can, so if you don't agree with me, then you can prove it and I'll prove you wrong. That was supposed to be a joke. Man. Thanks. But here's the thing. By God's grace, I'm beginning to learn what it looks like to shut my mouth and open my ears. I thought this ancient saying was really beneficial. Before I say that, here's the big idea today. Healthy marriages fight for resolution, not condemnation. Healthy marriages fight for resolution, not condemnation. So the next time I want to turn on my responding ear to win the argument, I must remember that that's not what I need to be doing. My goal does not need to be winning the argument. My goal needs to be coming to a resolution with my fight, with my wife. In fact, if we as a couple come to a resolution, that in and of itself is a victory together. But so oftentimes for me, and I'm sure this is for you, you begin to listen so that you can win the argument. But by you winning, she's losing or he's losing, and then both of you lose. So I found this ancient saying, as I was about to say in a minute, and I found it to be helpful. I read in a book, they didn't cite it, so I don't know where it comes from, so I can't give it credit, so please don't sue me if this is you and you're still alive somehow. This is what they said. The ears are always open, ever ready to receive instruction, but the tongue is surrounded with a double row of teeth to hedge it in and to keep it within proper bounds. You see, it's no coincidence that God created us, designed us with two open ears, one closed mouth, and then he also says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. I don't think it's all a coincidence. Maybe that's the way we should approach life and our interactions with our spouse. So be quick to listen and slow to speak. Guys, words are powerful. And I think whoever came up with the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, was like high on a kite or never lived a day in their life or something. Because you and I both know that words can hurt. We know. We've experienced it. Think back to your childhood. Maybe you can resonate with some of these things. When the other kids called you fat. When that boy dumped you for no reason. When your dad called you stupid. Words can hurt. When you received a letter of rejection. Words can hurt. When your boss told you that you were fired. Words can hurt. When someone told you that cancer is God's will. Words can hurt. When your wife asked when you were going to get a real job, words can hurt. Words can hurt, but words can also empower. See, words are powerful, so they can hurt and they can empower. Think about this. When God began using men to craft his words and record them for us to read, the account of what God has done and is doing, we see it in the Bible. Words can empower. When 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence in 1776, creating a country that we all call home, words can empower. When Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863, freeing African Americans from slavery, words can empower. When Martin Luther King Jr. gave speech after speech as he was fighting for equal civil rights, no matter your race, words can empower. When that person encouraged you when you were helpless, hopeless, you felt down on yourself, words can empower. Every time your spouse says and means, I love you, words can empower. When the ultrasound technician says it's a boy or it's a girl. Words can empower. See, friends, words are powerful, which means we ought to use them carefully, especially in our marriage. Words can hurt, and words can encourage. It's up to us how we use them. Men, how many times have you heard that it's not what you say always, but it's... Ladies, tell them... Go ahead, do it one more time so it sinks in. How you say it. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. I figure we could use some more reminders. I know I do. So be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. You know the best way to slow yourself down and becoming angry? Be quick to listen and slow to speak. Quick to listen and understand and slow to speak. That should get you going in the right direction. Ephesians 4, 26 to 27 has some insight for us, okay? This is what it says relating to anger. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. See, guys, it's not that anger is sin, it's that anger can easily lead to sin. And if you notice in there that the battle, the fight, is not even between you and your spouse. It's between you as a couple and the enemy. Think about this. God says when a man and a woman come together in marriage, they are declared as one. And so just think about how much joy it would give the devil if he could say, you know what, that's nice, God thinks you're one. Well, watch me divide you against yourselves and make you two again. The battle is not between you and your spouse. It's much bigger than that. And notice the practical essence of what he's saying. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. So practical. If you get in a fight, don't go to sleep without resolving it. Because remember, men delete and women archive. Here's what happens. You have a fight, you don't resolve it, you go to bed, huff and puff, go to bed. One of you is silent, one of you is... And eventually you guys fall asleep. And then you wake up, the guy, your husband, is saying, good morning, honey. I'm so glad the day is here. Maybe he's not that dramatic, but I love you. I'm so glad that I get to, you know, be here next to you. Welcome. Good morning. I'm so glad that we're together. And you are thinking to yourself, are you an idiot? We are mad at each other right now. We have not dealt with this. You don't need lovey-dovey to me, right? Maybe you're not as dramatic as that. Maybe you are. I don't know. But that's the thing. When guys go to bed, it's all in the past. We don't even remember it. Guys, you don't want to admit it, do you? It's like, huh, I thought we were past that. It's a new day. Like, joy comes in the morning. But not when you don't resolve it. So here's the thing. Resolve it, or you won't ever solve it. Because what happens is, you're frustrated, ladies, and then if you don't resolve it that day, it continues to the day, the next day, the next day, the next day. And after a while, you're months and months down the road, and then something triggers it, and it comes like a freight train at your husband. He feels attacked, and he attacks back, and then you feel attacked because he hasn't been hearing you for months, and it's just bad. That makes sense? Kind of see that as, maybe that's just me and my wife, I don't know, but I think that is how it goes. So, another thing, do not give the devil a foothold in your marriage, because if you do that, if you don't resolve it, then that foot is going to be in, and it's going to divide you two, and to me, I don't want that foot in my marriage, so I got to kick it out. So resolve it before you go to bed. This is just a simple, practical thing. If you got to stay up till 1 in the morning resolving it, it's worth it. 2 in the morning is worth it. If you don't go to bed, it's worth it. Maybe not for your coworkers, but it's worth it for you guys. So that was one verse. Let's continue. James 1:20. He has some things about anger. He says, human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Human anger does not produce the righteousness or the justice God desires. You see, becoming slow to become angry is a godly characteristic. If you want to kind of figure out where you're at in the whole walking with God thing, pay attention to how fast you become angry. And that may be kind of a measuring stick on where you're really at as a person who's walking with God. Craig Rochelle is a pastor, author. He's written a bunch of stuff, said a lot of stuff, and he outlines four signs you are not fighting fair, and I thought that it would be helpful. So, disclaimer, okay? When you hear this, please don't think about these in light of what your spouse does. We don't need any elbow matches. Think about how you do this. Or don't do it, okay? Is that fair? Can we agree? Guys, you want your ribs, right? All right, number one, criticizing. It's number one sign that you're not fighting fair. You criticize. Look, you didn't get gas. You never get gas. Of course they've gotten gas before. You've just escalated that, used hyperbole so that you feel more justified in your anger toward them. Criticizing. Contempt. You have disgust toward them. You have sarcasm. That's a big struggle of mine. You have eye rolling, like whatever. And you have mocking. Your care is not on them. It's a defense mechanism so that you don't feel what's going on. Number three, defensiveness. It's never your fault. It's always somebody else's fault. It could be the brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, dogs, hamsters of the second mother's fault. But it's not yours. Number four, stonewalling. I'm not going to deal with this. I'm going to go over here in my recliner and chill out. I do not want to talk about this. I'm done. 85% of men, roughly, maybe. Four signs you're not fighting fair. Criticizing, contempt, defensiveness, stonewalling. So if you're like, yep, I'm guilty of one of those, or maybe you're guilty, I'm guilty of all those, then from this day forward, you can make a change. But you may be saying, Brandon, dude, I screwed that up this morning. We've already fought. It can't be from this day forward. And to that I say, from this moment forward, if that's where you're at. From this moment forward. See, there's a temptation for us to stop here. And there's also a temptation for you to want to leave because you're hungry. But before we do that, we could stop at be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. And that's it. Yes, I've got the three missing ingredients for our marriage. Woohoo! I'm going to go do it. I'm going to write it on my mirror. Maybe I'll even tattoo it on my arm so that I'll remember it. Maybe I'll get a t-shirt and we'll just remember it. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Got it. Check mark. Boom. We're done. But here's the thing. If we leave it there, we are missing the linchpin that this all hinges upon. Sometimes when you quote just one verse, you kind of take it out of its original meaning because when I was first started going to church, the preacher there, he said, if you take a text out of context, all you have left is a con. Oh, yeah, that's good. That'll preach. So I've always remembered that. So here's the key. Going about being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry without the power of God's Spirit within you is like mowing weeds in the yard and expecting them to go away instead of pulling those weeds, spraying weed killer on them, and saying, adios, amigo, you're done. See, if we just try and do this on our own without God's Spirit pushing us forth, then we'll be toiling in vain. Maybe it's a nice self-help message. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, go. But that's not what we're about. Because you can't do it on your own. I'm going to read this the rest of this chapter real quick, and I want to see if you guys can find out what the linchpin is in this passage, okay? So if you figure it out when I'm done reading, you can just yell out what verse number you think it is, and if you're wrong, then that's fine. If you're right, then you get a virtual hug or air hug from me from here. All right, so verse 19, chapter 1, I'm going to read the rest of this, like 8 verses, okay? This is what God's word says. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Anybody catch it? You can yell it, that's fine. No? Close. Go back to verse 21. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. Do you see it? Get rid of all filthiness and evil in your life and humbly accept the word God has planted within your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. It sounds to me like repentance and faith. Turning away from where you've been, where you've gone, what you typically do, what your temptations are, turning away from that and humbly accepting the fact that God loves you, cares for you, wants to save you and transform you instead. Put away all the filth, the evil in your life and accept the word that he's planted in your hearts. See, I think the majority of problems we run into as churchgoers, I'm using that word on purpose, churchgoers, are related to one of two problems. Okay? Number one, either we think we are Christ followers, but we really are not. So, a lot of times we come to church, and I first started coming to church. I was a churchgoer. I started going to church. That's it. That was the only thing that was different. We liked the word that was preached. We liked the song that we sang. The guy was talking, and it was good sometimes. And it was good, and we left, and we felt, you know, joyful, and it was awesome. But here's the thing. If we were honest with ourselves, we would just say that we simply believe in God. We have not surrendered to him. You see, there's a difference between believing in God and surrendering to God. And so if you're in that place, then what you're going to run into is a frustration, because you're going to hear sermons say, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. And then you do it for a week and you're like, yes, this is great. And then you mess up and then you're like, the Bible doesn't work. God's plan doesn't work. And what you're missing is God's power living and dwelling inside of you, changing you, molding you, and transforming you into a person who can actually do that. The second problem we run into as churchgoers is that maybe we are Christ followers. We are Christ followers. And yet we don't have an understanding of the truth in which we live in. In other words, we don't completely understand the reality in which we live. You see, so oftentimes we can go back to our default of saying, this is up to me. I have to do this. This is what I can do. I've messed up. Obviously, I have no hope because this is a struggle of mine. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. All the while, we're missing the boat because it's not what I can do or we can do. It's what he can do. So we don't approach life in the same way of saying, it's up to me. We understand that God's Spirit is in us, changing us, transforming us, and it's up to him to do that. And for us to let him, that's a big difference. It's a big difference. So today, in order to fight fair, we must do three things. Some of you may only need to do two things because you've already done the first one. Number one, in order to fight fair in your marriage or in life, we must surrender to God. Because without God saving you through Jesus and God's Spirit indwelling you, changing you, molding you, convicting you, guiding you, you'll continue to be in shackles to your sin, and there's no better day than now to have that totally transformed, totally changed. Because you will find that without surrendering to God, you will toil in vain. Number two, this is from last week, pray together daily. Do it when you're awake and aware. Sarah and I, we've prayed together a lot, but a lot of times we are in bed and falling asleep as we were praying. Didn't even get to amen. Do it when you're awake and aware. We've started to do it like as we get the girls to bed and we go to the dining room table. We talk about just the moods that maybe one of us had a mood, and we talk about that. We pray together for each other and for others, and it's been great. And it was in response to last week's sermon. So I hope and pray that you've either started that or you're going to. And number three, cultivate in times of peace. Cultivate in times of peace. What I mean by that is, remember, men delete, women archive, but the archive search engine sometimes doesn't work as well when it's in times of peace. It only works really well when you're in a fight. So here's the thing. Work on letting God lead you into being quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry when you're not in a fight, so that you're used to it. So that you get used to it. Because here's the thing. That's not for just when you're in a fight. It's for any interaction you have ever. Because guys, the weight of this is huge. I'll repeat it again. John Gottman studies marriage for 16 years. And when he watched someone fight, a couple fight for 5 minutes, he could determine with 91% accuracy of whether or not they would get a divorce. It's not if you fight, it's how you fight. And if you're here today just wondering, man, I wonder what he would say about us, today can be the start of something brand new. It's not if you fight, it's how you fight. Because healthy marriages fight for resolution, not condemnation. So from this day forward, surrender to God. If that's you, then please, as we're singing, as the service ends, come forward. There's going to be a couple of couples up here willing to talk with you and help you with that step and just kind of make sense of it. Number two, commit to pray together daily. Do it when you're both awake and aware. Number three, cultivate in times of peace. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry at all times. That way, when you're in a fight, it's normal. It's your default. So here's the thing, guys. I don't know where you're at with your marriage. I don't know how much hope you have. I don't know where you guys are right now together. But here's what I know. Your marriage can be transformed because our awesome God is in the business of transforming you. If you feel your relationship is hopeless, know that when God gets in the mix, hope is infinite. And here's the thing, guys, God is in the mix. It doesn't matter what your parents used to do, what kind of baggage you've brought in, what kind of your default is, God can change you. And this is what I know, guys, God cares for you more than we'll ever be able to comprehend. God sent his son to be a sacrifice, to live a life that we couldn't live, so that we could one day be united with him in a relationship that we could not even be able to imagine. And God, through him, saves us, the worst of us, the messiness that we have, the plagues that we have, the impurities that just plague us. He changes us. God transforms us into people who we never thought we could be. People will look at you 5 years from now and say, that you are totally different than what I used to know. And praise God for that, because it's only because of him that that could be possible. And he can do it within you, and this is something that you all need to just remember and receive today and believe it. He can do it within you, and he can do it within your spouse. Your spouse is not too far gone to receive transformation by God. Your spouse is not too far gone to start honoring you and respecting you and loving you, you are not too far gone to start doing that for them. Because our God is so much more greater and more powerful than our struggles. God can do it. You don't need to doubt it. God, guys, is at work in you and in me and in all of us, and your spouse too. And I want us to just stand up, and we're going to sing out to God. We're going to praise him. You guys can stand right now. We're going to pray, and we're going to just acknowledge the fact that God is at work. He's not just at work in a place that we're going to have as a church home in Batavia, but he is at work in each and every one of your lives, wanting to make you into a person that he wants you to be. And it is not up to what we can do. It is up to what he can do. So I hope and pray that you guys believe that today.
God is certainly at work. He is at work in you, in your spouse, and in your family and friends. Hope you enjoyed it today. If you did, leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher. I would really appreciate that. And you can subscribe there or on my blog at brandonkelly.org. Have an awesome week. Peace.